Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Worship Your holy name. Bless You, time has come. Still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Come on, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy. Worship Your holy name. Lord, I worship Your holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. Worship Your holy name.
Welcome to this online service. My name is Gary Crucheen and I'm the Penrith Mission Area Mission Community Leader, and it's my privilege to be able to share in this service with you today, wherever you are, on behalf of the Penrith Methodist Church. As we come together for worship, let's bow our heads for a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new day. We thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you. And we pray that as we do so, you would fill us with your life-giving, joy-giving, peace-giving spirit, that we might praise you now with our lips and all the day long with our lives. May we worship you in spirit and in truth, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, having just prayed in Jesus' name, we're now going to sing a song which reminds us that His is the name which is above all others. Jesus is the name we honour.
We will glorify.
Jesus is the name we honour. If we're to be honest with ourselves, we don't always honour him, do we, by how we behave or the things we think or the things we say. And so let us come before God, acknowledging our need of his forgiveness and to give thanks for that forgiveness that we have through Jesus. Perhaps you'd like to join with me in this prayer as it appears on your screen now. Loving and merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have often gone our own way and have failed to follow your way. We have not loved you with our whole heart or loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, please forgive us, cleanse us, restore us, and help us to follow you in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, we worship an extravagant and loving God who has promised to forgive us through Jesus. And so let us accept that forgiveness and seek his Spirit to live for his praise and for his glory. Well, we're now going to have our Bible reading, and Avril will read for us now.
This morning's reading is from Philippians chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 1. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with you, Euodia. I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen.
Fiercest drought and storm. What happened?
Let us pray. Jesus said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and that is right, for that is who I am." Dear Jesus, would you please be our teacher and Lord today? For your dear name's sake, amen. Well, COVID-19 has presented us both with challenges and with opportunities. Life has needed to assume new patterns. What was normal has become obscured by uncertainty. Things we once did without having to really think about them now require forethought. And for many people, feelings of isolation, of anxiety, vulnerability, grief, frustration, uncertainty, they're all very, very real at this present time. Feelings actually experienced by St. Paul when he wrote to the Christians in Philippi, who themselves were up against it as they sought to remain faithful to Christ in an environment hostile to their belief, where false teachers had a hearing and tensions within the church persisted. Now, Paul had wanted to return to Philippi to be alongside them, to encourage them, and to deal with these problems in person. But he himself was in prison for his faith. At this present time, we can feel somewhat impeded from doing what we would normally do or would want to do, can't we? And Paul knew that feeling. Yet this letter does not focus on circumstances, but on Christ. And that made all the difference to Paul and to the Christians in Philippi. And it can do the same for us in these unusual times. Paul's letter to the Philippians oozes with encouragement, honesty, and challenge. Amazingly, Paul is full of joy despite his circumstances. Joy and rejoicing are mentioned 14 times in this short letter. And Paul exhorts the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. He then goes on to say, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But hold on, we might be saying to ourselves. Do not be anxious about anything. How could Paul say that? What about those times when a loved one is poorly? When test results are being awaited? When our children are struggling in one way or another? Whether one's business is going to survive the current pandemic? Whether one will have a job and be able to provide for the family? And the list could go on. Yet Paul tells us to rejoice and not to worry. We might be thinking to ourselves, is this man on another planet? Well, actually, if anyone had cause to worry, it was Paul. As I said, he was in prison, a victim of those who conspired against him and were opposed to the truth. Consequently, this once proud Jew now had a criminal record. Not only that, having given up his status as a Pharisee and instead given himself wholeheartedly to sharing the gospel, these young churches he was instrumental in creating and in whom he'd invested so much of his life were now threatened by division, which could mean countless more lost souls. Even this congregation in Philippi, that was Paul's joy and crown, was threatened by problems. Thus the potential for worry and a feeling of helplessness was great. Yet Paul seems to have conquered anxiety. But how?
How can we rejoice when bogged down with worries? Well, let's stop for a minute and think about what worry will do to us. Worry can be the cause of ulcers, headaches, neck aches, back aches, some form of arthritis, and even tooth decay. Worry can affect our sleep, our thinking, our digestion, our coordination and concentration, and can rob us of joy and contentment. Thus, I think we can safely deduce that worrying is not good for us. And in fact, it can be harmful. So what is the antidote for worry? Well, Paul speaks about the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, and will guard and guide our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But what does that mean? Well, as has been the case throughout this letter, Paul reminds the Philippians of their dependence on God and of his dependability. Throughout this letter, Paul exudes great joy and confidence, but this wasn't due to having an easy and carefree life. Quite the contrary, as has been said. The potential for worry for Paul was very great and very real. And yet, despite his circumstances, he was able to exhort his readers to rejoice in the Lord always. And here we find the source of his joy and his confidence, the Lord Jesus Christ. Effectively, he was saying, whatever happens to you and to me, we can rejoice in the Lord. He is the one who is ever faithful and ever sure. He is the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one in whom there is security in this life and for eternity. And that can be the experience of all who turn to Christ and who put their trust in him. And I'm sure we can bring to mind such people who have been an example to us of faith like that. That despite the ups and downs they faced, that their gentleness was evident to all. Their security was in Christ and Christ alone. You know, these days people talk about positive thinking, though often without reference to God. However, in this short but incredible extract from Paul's letter, which Avril read for us earlier, he talks about right praying, which should include adoration of the one true God, supplication, acknowledging our dependency on him, and appreciation, remembering the good gifts God has given us, not least of a Saviour in Jesus Christ. And the result of such prayer? Well, the peace of God that guards the heart from wrong feeling and the mind from wrong thinking. Of course, this doesn't mean the absence of trials on the outside, but it does provide quiet confidence within, in spite of the circumstances, people or things. Paul also exhorts his readers to have right thinking. Whatever is noble, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, we can't see, weigh or measure thoughts, yet we know they are very real and very powerful. But what should we think about? Well, Paul spells it out for us. He says, think about whatever is true. A study shows only 8% of things people worry about ever actually happen. That means 92% is either imaginary, never happens, or is so out of our control that we're just wasting our time worrying about it. Yet often our minds can run riot. Certainly mine can. And we can create worries in our imagination. And more often than not, these rob us both of peace, but also create in us suspicion and resentment. The last exhortation Paul gives is right living in verse 9. Outward action and inward attitude cannot be separated. Sin results in unrest. Right living is necessary for experiencing the peace of God. When we disobey, when we live and behave as though God doesn't exist, when we live to please ourselves rather than him, then we will forgo that peace that Paul is talking about. Friends, this week, when you or I find ourselves worrying or even tempted to worry, let's ask ourselves if we're following Paul's prescription for a worry-free life. That prescription is right praying, right thinking, and right living. With the peace of God to guard us and the God of peace to guide us, why worry? Instead, may we rejoice in the Lord always. We won't always be able to rejoice in our circumstances or other people or whatever. But we can rejoice in the Lord always. So let's rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Amen.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust in you. And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will my ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on his good delights, and I will trust in you, and I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will though I walk the darkest path.
What a wonderful reassurance it is to know that Jesus is that good shepherd and the one we can look to and trust in all circumstances. Well, we're now going to continue in prayer, and my wife Julie is going to lead us as we do that.
Let us pray. Lord God, we pray for your church, scattered rather than gathered today. We thank you for all the blessings you give your people, for your love and compassion towards us, for the beauty we see in creation, and for the hope, joy, and peace we find in knowing Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. We pray that you will continue to work in each of us, making us into the people you want us to be. Help us to empty ourselves of all pride, selfish ideas and ambitions, to love you and other people more than ourselves, that we may be a loving Christ-like community. May we respond to the message we have heard today and learn to live out our faith in confidence and joy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember those whose lives are feeling empty and lonely, those filled with regret, despair, worry, grief, and mental anguish, and for those going through pain and illness. Bring before God anyone known personally to you now who needs our prayers. Father, ease their pain and send your healing to them in body, mind and spirit. Be present with them through the support of friends and family, and in the care of doctors and other health workers. And fill them with a knowledge of your love, now and always, that in their darkness they may see your light, feel your peace, and know that joy that only you can give, which transcends human circumstances. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember too all those working with COVID patients, for the doctors, nurses, care workers and scientists, as they work to bring this virus under control, for those in government as they seek to make decisions that affect all of our lives. We ask that God will give them wisdom, compassion and resilience. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we think about the week ahead, give to God your concerns, anxieties and fears, knowing that he cares about these things too. Father, as we go through this week, may we be conscious of your presence with us, and live in the confidence and joy we find in you, our living, loving God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
Well, we're almost at the end of this online service. Thank you again for your company today. And do please let us pray for each other for the rest of today and for the week and the months ahead, that despite our circumstances, we might rejoice in the Lord always. I'm going to close with a prayer now, a prayer of blessing. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep in each of our hearts and minds a knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us, with those we love, and with those we struggle to love, this day and forevermore. Amen. So, friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.